if someone starts eating junk food from a very young age, you're training your brain to expect these foods that light up your reward system, release more dopamine. That's why you feel so motivated to eat them. That's why it's so hard to control yourself. And as we do more of this behavior, it creates this vicious cycle. And as our brains continue to associate pleasure with calorie-dense foods, you even find it difficult to make the choice to enjoy something healthier and low calorie. And in fact, when you do that, you might still feel like you have a craving for something sweet. Does that resonate at all? Now, here's the good news. We can break the cycle.
Welcome to the Legendary Life Podcast, where it's all about taking control of your health, losing fat, transforming your body, and living the life you deserve with celebrity fitness trainer and longevity enthusiast, Ted Rice. I can't buy ice cream and store it in my freezer. Why? Because I know I'm going to eat the entire thing. It doesn't matter if it's a pint or a couple or just a small serving, it's going to disappear within 24 to 48 hours. And as I've struggled with this over the years, I began to ask why. Why does this happen? I feel like I have control in so many areas of my life, but when it comes to certain foods, for me, it's ice cream. For you, it might be fries. For other of my clients, it's pizza or pasta. But if you have struggled with self-control with certain foods, this podcast is for you. We're going to talk about why your brain is wired to crave high calorie, less healthy foods. We're also going to talk about how you can break free of the cycle. So if that resonates with you, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Rice, health expert and coach to entrepreneurs, founders, and other high-performing professionals. We produce this show for two reasons. Number one, I've been in this business for 24 years, and I've gone down a lot of roads that were dead ends with trying to improve my health. I followed a lot of very confident people, but their information never led to the results that I was looking for. And so this is my way of giving back and giving you the best health information on the internet. The second reason is I'm a health coach. I work with people to help them achieve the same success with their health that they have in other areas of their life. So if you're a high-achieving professional and you know the value of coaching and you want to fast-track your success and avoid all the mistakes, and you're looking for who to hire to help you do that, you'll think of me. So let's get into today's episode, because we're going to take a dive into why this happens. And like I said earlier, it's something I've struggled with for a long time and something I've seen my clients struggle with. And here's what I've learned. The solution is our brain, and it also causes the problem. When we indulge in a delicious, high-calorie meal, our brains release a surge of dopamine. Now, there's a lot of talk about dopamine, so you probably heard of it before. But just in case you haven't, it's a neurotransmitter. That means it's a chemical in your brain that communicates from one brain cell to another, and it plays a crucial role in what's called your reward system. In other words, if you've ever done anything and it felt rewarding, it felt pleasurable, that's your brain's reward system at work. So this release of dopamine creates that pleasurable sensation, and it reinforces our desire to seek out and consume more of those foods that gave you that dopamine release. On the other hand, though, when we eat chicken and broccoli, our brains release significantly less dopamine. So as a result, these healthy options, they just don't seem that appealing. And even some people don't like them at all. If food doesn't taste delicious for some people, they're just not interested in eating it. And what I want to tell you is this comes from the way our brain is wired in the reward system specifically. And it's not just the wiring. It is also how you've trained your brain, Because what ends up happening, let's say if someone starts eating junk food from a very young age, you're training your brain to expect these foods that light up your reward system, release more dopamine. That's why you feel so motivated to eat them. That's why it's so hard to control yourself. And as we do more of this behavior, it creates this vicious cycle. And as our brains continue to associate pleasure with calorie-dense foods, you even find it difficult to make the choice to enjoy something healthier and low calorie. And in fact, when you do that, you might still feel like you have a craving for something sweet. Does that resonate at all? I know that's something I've experienced. Now, here's the good news. We can break the cycle, but it's going to take some work. And it also has to do with understanding what's going on. So the concept here is neuroplasticity. And I've talked about it a lot on this show, but just in case you haven't heard that word before, neuroplasticity is just the term to describe how our brains change in relation to learning. For example, when you start to play the guitar, you're not very good at it. It's hard to put your fingers in the right place, hard to strum the strings. Or if you're learning how to play golf, it's hard to hold your body position and swing it the right way to get the little ball all the way a bunch of yards away into that small hole. But after a while, you start to learn how to do it. And that process is neuroplasticity. It's the mechanism of learning. It's the process, the physiological process that occurs in our brain as we learn. And what's important about this is we can teach it the wrong things, such as what we're talking about today. And what I want to tell you is, if you've developed, like I have in the past, this habit of eating junk and then craving more, it's going to take some time for our brains to lose our cravings. So the first thing to understand, and we'll go into specific strategies for this, but the first thing to understand is that we need to give it a break. Just like if you wanted to quit smoking, you have to start to cut down or even quit and go cold turkey. And that's kind of the same thing here. We've developed this pattern of behavior that causes a strong release of dopamine, and we just don't feel happy. We don't feel the pleasure if we're not eating those things. So it's going to take some time for these cravings to go away. How long? Well, based on the research, the answers vary. And they vary depending on factors such as differences between people and also the intensity of our cravings. In other words, some of us will have more intense cravings than others. However, most studies point to a period of several weeks to a few months for our brains to adapt. And during this time, it's really important to remember that your brain is undergoing significant changes, because you will have cravings. You will want to repeat or default back to those old habits and grab the pint of Ben and Jerry's Tonight Dough. I think the name of it is the last Ben and Jerry's pint I ate. And you'll want to default to those old behaviors. But the more you default to them, the more you go back to those behaviors, the more you reinforce them and create that cycle again. So as you consistently choose healthier food, your brain will start to release more dopamine in response to the healthier choices, and it will gradually rewire your reward system. But this process, again, it's going to take several weeks to a few months, and the process, it requires patience, persistence, and most importantly, self-compassion. And I'm a little hesitant to talk about self-compassion, because a lot of the people I work with, both men and women, are high achieving. But I think it's the right word to use here, because when we judge ourselves harshly, oh, wow, you just have no self-control, you're a loser, whatever the talk is, what does that do? It creates stress. And so many of us, part of why we're craving this stuff in the first place is because stress is playing a role. So when we have a more compassionate approach, it helps us not to spike our stress levels even higher than what they already are. So let's get into some strategies. Because rewiring your brain, it may seem like a big deal, but the reality is it's quite simple. Now, the first one is the cold turkey approach. For some individuals, just going cold turkey, in other words, just stop eating anything that you crave, is going to be an effective strategy. It's also going to be much harder. You're going to experience stronger cravings if you do this. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It's really about the individual. And to succeed with this method, you'll probably want to get rid of all the tempting items in your pantry, stock up on healthier alternatives, and mentally prepare yourself for the challenge. And if you have a family at home, you're going to want to communicate with them to tell them what you're doing and ask for their help. Now, the second way of doing this is start slow. And personally, I tend to be a start slow person. Sometimes I go all in, but with food, I take a slow approach usually. So rather than going cold turkey on your favorite junk food, try gradually reducing your intake while simultaneously increasing your consumption of healthier options. This is going to give your brain time to adapt, and it's going to minimize the feelings of feeling deprived. It's going to minimize those feelings. The key to making this work, however, is you must eat the healthier stuff first until you get full, and then have the junk food, the dessert, the chips, the whatever it is on top of it. And you'll end up eating less. This is the way I do it whenever I find myself stuck in a little bit of a cycle of eating a lot of junk, eating a lot of dessert. Number three is opt for healthier alternatives. And this is something that I also do and teach my clients to do. When the cravings strike, choose healthier substitutes of your favorite high-calorie foods. As an example, if you want potato chips, eat some Quest protein chips instead. If you've never had Quest protein chips, you've got to try them. Yes, it's basically healthy junk food, but it's only 150 calories. And if you're struggling for that flavor, for that taste, for that getting something that can just give your brain a little bit, a hit of that pleasure, then it can work well. Another favorite, if you have a bit of a sweet tooth, you can use something like 0% fat Greek yogurt with your favorite flavored protein powder. And I like to put a little sweetener instead of whatever sweet you would have. And what you get is something that is delicious. It's filling, has a lot of protein, which we'll talk about in a second, but also is sweet enough to give your brain a hit of what it is craving so that you can push on and get in better and more control of yourself. So number four is prioritize protein and fiber. Again, by incorporating higher amounts of protein and fiber-rich foods, it can help you feel fuller for longer. And these nutrients can help curb hunger and reduce cravings. Again, you want to start with, if you're especially, well, regardless if you're going cold turkey or doing the slow approach, you really want to prioritize protein and fiber here. And basically, that means prioritize lean proteins, chicken breast. They can be higher in fat if you want, but lean proteins, you're going to get the most protein per calorie. So lean proteins and fiber, what are we talking about there? We're talking about eating vegetables when we're talking about fiber. Yes, fruit has some too. That can be good as well. But again, having these healthier whole foods are going to help you feel full. If you're feeling full, even if you do have cravings, they won't be as strong. So number five is make healthy foods more appealing. So there's two ways you can give your brain the reward that it's craving with food. You can just eat all the foods that we're trying to avoid, French fries, potato chips, ice cream, cookies. And we can also experiment with different spices, herbs, and cooking methods to make low-calorie foods more enjoyable. For an example, when I was in Portugal recently, I would go to the store, the supermarket, and they had these delicious low-calorie soups. They already tasted pretty good, but what I would do is I would put some spice over chicken. So I would spice the chicken, and then I would cook the chicken and put it in the soup, and then I would add curry powder to the soup as well. So I felt like I was having a spicy curry. It tasted like a spicy curry, except it was only 56 calories for 100 grams of the soup. So it was a low calorie, very tasty option. And when you eat tasty food, because you've been experimenting with different spices, herbs, and cooking methods, you're going to get more dopamine release from eating that. You're going to experience more pleasure from eating the food. This one is a little bit trickier because it involves developing some cooking skill, but just a few things, playing around with a few spices can really help here. Number six is manage stress. High stress levels make cravings worse. There's a reason we call some of the things that we crave comfort foods, because when we eat them, it gives us comfort. So instead of eating, the key here is to cope with your stress differently. Finding a different way to deal with your stress. For example, I got a 90-minute massage yesterday. Now, the source of my stress was, I'm not going to go into the full drama, but I had a crazy time in the past week and a half meeting with a coach, one of my coaches, and a coach who coaches me, by the way. And our timetable got pushed because his fiance went into emergency surgery, and then I had to move my flight, and then the flight was delayed, and just all this craziness. And I arrived finally to Cancun airport, and my luggage missed the flight, even though I barely made my connection in Houston. And it was just a lot of craziness, a lot of time in a plane, and a lot of time sitting. And then on the ride from Cancun to Playa del Carmen, which is where I rented my condominium, there was an accident. And it's a very narrow road. It's only two lanes going away from the airport and coming back to the airport. And we were in traffic. The driver who picked me up and I, we were in traffic for another hour. So it was a lot of stress. What did I do? Yes, I did eat some tacos, and we'll talk about that later. But what I really did was I got a 90-minute massage. And I asked her, I was like, you know what? Can you do 90 minutes? And she said, yes, we can. I said, oh, okay, let's do it. I was only going to do 60 minutes. I thought about, you know, oh, I'm going to pay more money. It's going to take more time. But you know what? It was the right thing to do. And so I did it. And other of my clients also, they have saunas or sauna blankets, or they get massages. They have different ways to lower their stress, and they're proactive about it. So that's something else that can help. And not can help, but definitely does help if you feel like you're under some stress. And what I mean by that, just really quick, is I don't mean, hey, are you stressed out? Because a lot of people will say no. What I mean is that you have symptoms of stress, meaning you're having food cravings because there's a lot going on. Because as high performers, sometimes we're not so connected with how stressed we actually feel. So we have to rely on metrics. So manage stress is number six. Number seven, get adequate sleep. Have you ever had a night of sleep where maybe you slept 4 or 5 hours and you noticed that it was just a little harder to feel full? Well, we know lack of sleep contributes to increased cravings and poor food choices. So not only are you craving, are you hungry, but you're not hungry for superfood salads and kale shakes and chicken breast and broccoli. You want the Rocky Road, Haagen-Dazs Rocky Road, or whatever else it is, hamburger and fries. So aim for 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. Okay, that's something you've heard a million times before, but ask yourself, am I really doing it? Because if you're struggling with your weight, and especially cravings are playing a big role in your situation with your weight, with your body fat, sleep needs to be taken into account. Number eight is get support. And I would even call this, do an audit of who's in your life or who's influencing you with your food choices. Some people, if you've noticed, you end up, like I saw a friend of mine in Miami recently. I stopped there for a couple of days and I ended up drinking way more alcohol than I have in the past, I don't know, 5 years maybe. I had several drinks with him, and he wanted to keep drinking and drinking and drinking. And then I have other friends, they want to eat certain foods and they want to keep eating. And what I'm trying to say is you have to be mindful of your relationships with people and their influence on your behavior. And it's very tough to, you have to be a certain type of lone wolf type of person to set strong boundaries or just say, yeah, I'm not going to eat it. But for the more social of us, which I'm kind of introverted in many ways, but I really enjoy being around friends more than ever these days. I view it as a crucial part of my mental health is spending time with people I care about. However, we have to make sure that the people who we're hanging out with for our mental health, for life satisfaction, for enjoying ourselves, aren't also contributing to poor physical health because of their influence. And again, this isn't about blaming people. It's just about understanding that people influence you. And even if you're the most strict type of person who can regulate yourself well, you're still going to be working against, you're going to be putting forth such effort to maintain control when you're spending time with people who have these bad habits to say no. So make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are supportive. Make sure you ask for support because sometimes your friends, even the ones with bad habits, you can say, hey, listen, I'm trying to cut down on drinking. I'm trying to not eat as much. And I really love your support on this. Personally, I'm kind of talking out my, I don't really usually ask for support personally. But then again, this is my business. And so what I'm sharing are strategies that my clients have shared with me. I end up, by the way, just in case if you're interested, when I was hanging out with my friend in Miami, I did have a few drinks with him, but at a certain point I said, no, I'm done, man. I'm not drinking more scotch. I don't care if it's Blue Label. Actually, I don't really like Blue Label anymore, but I found that I really like port. But the point is you have to learn how to set boundaries with people and ask for support when appropriate. So those are the big strategies, the big eight strategies that I've used with myself and with my clients. So I want to finish off by saying breaking free from cravings, it feels impossible at times, but it can happen. In fact, it does happen. I had a client tell me recently she had a craving for Jimmy John's sandwiches and she thought they'd never go away, but they went away. So the craving will go away. And I'm hoping that arming you with a deeper understanding of how your brain works, along with strategies that have been proven, not just ones that I looked up, but things that I've actually done and coached my clients on. And you can do this. It's 100% doable, but it takes commitment. It takes a commitment to change. It takes perseverance, and you will experience negative emotions. You will have those cravings and you'll want to give in to them. And it's okay if it happens, but if it happens too much, giving into cravings, then what you're doing is you're not making any progress. So what I would tell you is remember the journey of rewiring your brain. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It can take weeks or even months. Progress will be slow at times. You will fall off the wagon occasionally. And what I want to tell you is if you stay the course, you will win. So the key here is don't quit. So just to go over the strategies one more time. So strategy number one, the cold turkey approach. Number two is start slow. Number three is opt for healthier alternatives. Four is prioritize protein and fiber. Number five is make healthy foods more appealing. Number six is manage your stress. Number seven is get adequate sleep. Number eight is get support. And I want to ask you, which one of these or which one could you implement right away? What are one, two, or three of these that you could implement right away? Which one resonated with you the most? And what I want you to do is to go and implement it. Because if you're listening to this podcast all the way through, you've listened because it's motivating. I have you engaged. But what I also want to tell you is you're getting a dopamine hit right now. And just listening to this information will not change your life. But if you take what you've learned today and apply it, even just a small one, Even a small strategy, just a small action, well, that creates dopamine too, because now you're going to be making progress. So that's a thought I want to leave you with. And if you found this episode valuable, the biggest compliment you can give me is to share this with a friend or a colleague who you think would benefit from hearing this, who would benefit from understanding their brains and their eating habits a bit better. So if you found this episode helpful, I want to ask you, share it with a friend or a colleague who you think really needs to hear the neuroscience of cravings and to help them understand their behavior a bit better, to help them understand why they're struggling with this particular issue in their life when they have success in so many other areas. So share it with someone who you think would benefit. Let's help each other build a community of health-focused, high-achieving entrepreneurs. And remember, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast yet, subscribe to the podcast on wherever you listen to podcasts. Episodes come out on Monday and on Friday. That's all I've got for you. Until the next episode, have an amazing week and remember to implement what you learned today.